Hey, Brother Hickey, amen. I like Brother Hickey. Number one, he's got the name Robert, amen. How awesome is that, amen? I like that, amen. Huh? Talkative? Oh, I haven't learned that far part, amen. Yeah, I've learned Robert means bright fame, yeah. And that's why he's always smiling and shining, amen. So, all right then, you didn't get that, but he'll catch on that later, amen. Psalms chapter 63. Listen, I appreciate Brother Hickey for the testimony, because that does my heart good, amen. I love preaching. I love getting out there and preaching and so forth. And I don't like being preaching with those folks who get mean spirited, you know. But those guys that we go with, man, they, you know, you could tell they have passion for Jesus, you know, and they want to see people saved, amen. And that's what it's about. I've seen preachers, you know, going out there, they stop preaching the gospel and start preaching at the person, and like, you know, that's gonna really make a difference, amen. It's gonna stop the traffic and cause a riot and all that other stuff. So there's certain ways to preach the gospel, and I believe God wants us to preach with wisdom, amen. But appreciate that, man. I'll tell you, man. You know, I mean, you can say whatever you want to say. And you can argue about all the things you want to argue. But when you get to heaven, God's going to check on how many people you reached with your life. Amen. And you may not like that. You might think, well, sitting in your office, I'm listening to Christian music, and I'm doing my job. I'm doing it because of paycheck or whatever. But, you know, that's not serving God. I want to say to you that coming to church and listen to the preacher rant and rave or a few Bible messages, that's not serving God. I would be honest to tell you that serving God is when you serve God and you don't know where he's leading. You don't know what the results are going to be, but you still give your life to God. You still give them all your all, and you just totally submit to that. I mean, that's serving God, amen. And you don't worry about the outcome. You just go ahead and do it because you know that that's the right thing to do. Amen. Amen. Or I'm telling you, I mean, I can't wait till I get a mature Christian. Amen. Amen. Because I think I'm going to preach a little bit harder than I'm preaching now. Amen. Amen. I think it's good to let folks know what it means in serving and loving God. Amen. Amen. What a testimony with Jerry Hickey out there. Out there, what, 35 years on the mission field, 41 years in marriage? Well, that's a testimony. Amen. You know what I'm saying? Can you match that? Can you match that? I mean, left home, left mama, left dad, left everybody, left his whole family out there in a foreign field, taking enemies of Christ and learning that and teaching them and trying to get them saved and all that? Could you do that? Just a question, amen. Oh, you don't like it when Walmart shuts down, amen. You have a hissy fit when Walmart ain't open and you can't go and buy your polka dot of pajamas, amen. I don't know. I mean, I don't know. Brother Hickey, you stirred me up tonight, amen. Psalm 63, amen. I would invite you for the stand and reading the Word of God. We're not going to keep you long. I'll just go ahead and preach a little bit of this, and next week I'll preach a little bit more of it, amen. Psalm 63, let's read it together. Let's look at it. The Bible says, O God, thou art my God. Early will I seek thee. My soul thirsteth for thee. My flesh longeth for thee in a dry and thirsty land, where no water is, to see thy power and thy glory, so as I have seen thee in the sanctuary, because thy loving kindness is better than life. My lips shall praise thee. Thus will I bless thee while I live. I will lift up my hands in thy name. My soul shall be satisfied with marrow and fatness. My mouth shall praise thee with joyful lips. When I remember thee upon my bed and meditate on thee in the night watches, because thou hast been my help, therefore in the shadow of thy wings will I rejoice. My soul followeth hard after thee, thy right hand upholdeth me. But those that seek my soul to destroy it shall go into the lower parts of the earth. They shall fall by the sword. They shall be a portion for foxes. But the king shall rejoice in God. Everyone that sweareth by him shall glory. But the mouth of them that speaketh lies shall be stopped. Heavenly Father, we come to you tonight, dear God. Believe in him, Heavenly Father, that you're an almighty God. And God, I thank him, Heavenly Father, for the reports that you give us that speak to our hearts and our souls. And God, I can't wait to that day, Lord, that I can meet you face to face. But until then, dear God, I pray that you would help me to live this Christian life that you've given me, that I so solemnly do not deserve. I pray, God, that you would help me as the Christian that you desire me to be, to live by faith, that my life will increase by knowledge and by love, and not to make a show as a testimony to people, but because, dear God, I know that you're my help. And so, God, I ask, Lord, that you help us tonight, speak to our hearts, for it's in Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Thank you. Be seated. If you had to pick out a single word to describe in our society, if you had to make it accurate, make an understanding so someone would understand, you would pick out one word to understand what we experience here on earth. And that is simply that no matter wherever you go, wherever we abide, wherever we hang our coat up and call it home, there's always going to be pressure in life. We are citizens of the United States, marked by pressure. We take our kids at the age 5 years old, we put them in the kindergarten, and we pressure them to do a good job. We keep it right on up until they go through school and get into college, and we pressure them to make good grades, to make academic grades where they can get those kind of grades to where it'll give them the right kind of scholarship. Then we encourage them to join some athletic teams and tell them all the way, do your best. Go beyond that you think you can go and give it all. Give it all for mom and dad. And so wherever we do, we excel them through pressure, from one pressure to another pressure. And it goes on, goes all the way on until we get out on our own. And then we think, well, okay, I'm an adult now. I live for myself. I make my own decisions, and I don't have to have pressure. But then we realize that more pressure comes when we decide to have a family. Then we got the cares of the children. Then we got the cares of the financials and making the payments, car payment, what other payment we got? Light payment, doctor payments, all these other payments. It seems like that we don't have enough money and there's pressure to keep going on and working and pressure, and everything around us is so pressured that we just seem like that we're going to explode one day. We get headaches. We get exhaustion. We get frustration. We get all these other things that come with what pressure involves our life into. And yet we get promoted to our elderly age. We think that we arrive to our early age. Well, I'm a mature person now. Now I know my golden days. I know that I've gone through this, and I can tell the youth, hey, don't do that. This is why, and give them encouragement, give them some instruction. But yet we sit back and we're pressured in our life. Why? Because, well, we're taking too many medication. Amen. We figure that we're going to overdose with the medication from the doctor. We feel like that we can't make it to the bathroom fast enough. And we're just going to collapse and do all these things. And there's just so much pressure that involves our life. And yet, seems it takes us out of focus. I'll be honest to say to you that today, the pressures of the Christian life is being placed on you and I more and more. Today we can look as being the Christians before God to say that more pressure is being placed on Christians. More pressure is being placed on the few that do the work of God. That few do pray for God's ministry and for God's glory to come out in your life and my life as well as the local church. It seems like there's a lot of pressure that's being put on Christians today. Say, get the job done. He's coming back soon. Hurry it up. Get it done. And it just seems that today we exhaust ourselves with problems, worldly problems, economic problems, personal problems, problems of loved ones, problems of our enemies, problems of this one we don't want to make mention of. Just seems that everywhere we make mention of these problems, these pressures to drive us to make a decision. Say, Pastor, what does that mean? Here we find David had a lot of things in his life to where you and I, we can relate to what David was going through. We know in the life of David, he had the King Saul chase him several times, tried to take his life out. Several times that he set up that old thing called, my mom told me, she said, when I was in Bible college, son, if you don't come home and spend some time with me, I'm going to send a posse to come after you, amen. And so today, we know that King Saul set a posse to get David. Here was David, was a man that he ran most of his life. He ran realizing that there's pressures on every side. And today, you and I, it seems that we do a lot of the same thing. And so in that pressure, I believe that God lets us to experience the pressure so that we have learned to make a decision for Him. And that decision was simply rely upon or the decisions that you discover in your life will simply outline your priorities. I believe that today, if you made a decision for Jesus Christ, I mean, if you truly made a decision for Jesus Christ, you would arrange your priorities and you would simply begin to put God first. We preach about making God first, but a lot of us don't know what it means to put God first. We just like talking about it. But putting God first, there are some causes us to put us in some dangerous places because sometimes it's not as easy serving God. It's not easy to give God everything in our life when there's a God in heaven. There's a creator among the earth and heaven that we've never seen. We don't know anything about God because we can't touch Him. We can't feel Him. We can't look upon Him. There's nothing that we can discover. Only that we discover by God is by faith. Faith alone that we can learn who God is.
Amen.
Faith alone by reading the Word of God. I wonder today that today we look at our priorities. Where are we at? Simply that today we are all busy in one way or the other. But today, I want to submit to you that you should determine to make your priorities of Jesus Christ. I believe that we live in a depressed mode because we make everything else in our life a priority. We don't really make Jesus the priority as we're going to learn here what David did. And so I want to lead you to how David how the Psalms, the book of Psalms, is a psalm that teaches you and I that David was a man who made God his priority. And there's many descriptions that we can learn about David making God his priority. First of all, I want to just turn you over to the page where you're at. You see Psalm 63 right there, don't you? Can I mind tell you that I want you to look how David starts off Psalm 63. Oh God, thou art my God. You know, that might be a statement you want to make mention in your life. Amen. I mean, here David's making the mention that God is his God. Look how, if you would look with me, look in the Bible, how it makes one little letter. It says, O, right? You see that, right? That's an introductory to the next word. Now look how that next word. I want you to look and I want you to concentrate on what it is trying to describe there. But look how that word is, God. Did you notice that that word God is capitalized G-O-D? That's a very significant statement, amen? We're not talking about some God. We're not talking about a little God. We're talking about the God of the universe, amen? Elohim, amen? Elohim, I'll get that word right one day. We're talking about Elohim, and we're talking about that here, the God, the creator of the universe, was the God of David. Amen?
Amen.
I just want to point that out to you. Then look with me in verse 62. Truly my soul waiteth upon God. From him cometh my salvation. Verse 2, he is only my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be greatly moved.
Amen.
You know, today we need to really take a stand in this pressured world as Christians. And that stand is simply that we know that the creator of the universe is my God and that we will wait on him. Amen. Because he's our defense. I want you to go and look with me to some other verses. Go with me to Psalms chapter 3. Now, I've only brought out just a few of them. I didn't get to bring all of them out because we know that you don't like turning the Bible. Amen. But Psalms chapter 3, look with me in verse 7. Verse 7. It says, arise, O Lord, save me, O my God. See how he just put these two things together? We can't never think that when we look at the Lord that it's a different God. Yeah, there's no description. I mean, right here, there's no description than Jesus Christ, than God the Father. Here it is. Arise, O Lord, save me, O my God. We like to make a distinction, but here there's no distinction in that. You see Jesus Christ, you've seen the Father. Amen. You talk about the Father, you're making mention of Jesus Christ. Arise, O Lord, save me, O my God. For thou hast smitten all my enemies upon the cheekbone. Thou hast broken the teeth of the ungodly. Salvation belongeth unto the Lord. Thy blessing is upon thy people. I want you to notice how here in Psalms chapter 3 it says, arise, O Lord. David is given a distinction unto his God. Look with me in Psalm 7, verse 3. Look how he notices how he talks about the Lord here. He says, O Lord, my God, if I have done this, if there be iniquity in my hands, if I have rewarded evil unto him that was at peace with me, yea, I have delivered him that without cause is my enemy. Let the enemy persecute my soul and take it. Yea, let him tread down my life upon the earth and lay my honor in the dust. David was willing to give his life for his enemy if he had wronged him. I wonder where you and I would be at. You say, well, I trust the Lord. He's my rock. He's my salvation. Is he? Are you ready to lay your life down for the enemy? Here, David speaks, O Lord, my God. You see how he's giving that distinction there? Go with me to Psalms chapter 18. Psalms 18. Look with me at verse 2. The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God. I like that, amen. My God. Look, you know what? Hey, y'all need to wake up, amen. Hey, look, let's say that together. My God. Boy, y'all don't believe it, amen. Let's try it again. You ready? My God, amen. Is he your God? And why are you afraid to say it? Amen. My God, my strength, in whom I will trust, my buckler, the horn of my salvation, and my high tower. Boy, that's when you ought to get my. Amen. Oh, my. I mean, listen what the Bible's saying. I will call upon the Lord who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from my enemies. Amen. Oh, I'm telling you right now. I mean, you ought to see what God's really doing for you. Amen. Here. Hey, it all comes by giving God the distinction. He is the Lord. He is the God. Amen. Look with me in Psalms chapter 30. Psalms chapter 30, verse 2. Bible says here, O Lord my God, I cried unto thee, and thou hast healed me. O Lord, thou hast brought up my soul from the grave. Thou hast kept me alive, that I should not go down into the pit. Sing unto the Lord, O ye saints of his, and give thanks at the remembrance of his holiness. Man, isn't that getting good?
Amen.
I'm telling you, folks, here David's making a distinction for you and I. And that distinction that we can find here, that distinction that David is proving that he had a relationship with God Almighty. Amen. He knew him. He understood him. Amen. Psalms chapter 44. Psalms chapter 44. Last one. Amen. I mean, maybe you get tired of me talking about God. Amen. I don't know. Listen to this. David's talking about God here. Thou art my king, O God. Command deliverance for Jacob. Through thee will we push down our enemies. Through thy name will we tread them under that rise up against us. For I will not trust in my bow, neither shall my sword save me. But thou hast saved us from our enemies and hast put them to shame that hated us. In God we boast all the day long and praise thy name forever.
Amen.
Selah. Man, I thought I was going to have a heart attack. Amen. Folks, I want you to know there's evidence here that David sought God. There's no doubt about it that you can read the book of Psalms and go through all of this. And I know that there's some that are broken up. Some were written by others and some were written by Moses. But most of the Psalms, you find David here. David making mention. David describing who his God was. And so today, in the book of Psalms, we find that this man David, just like you and I, a person that's full of pressure. Full of pressure on all sides. Here we learn that David, he wasn't pressured by by the king, but he was pressured by his own family. Here his own son, Absalom, was out to take away his life. And I wonder if you and I, if we had experienced what David experienced, I wonder if you and I, where would our integrity be in serving the Lord? David kept God as his priority. So tonight, we would learn that seeking after God should be simply our most important priority. No matter what pressures comes into your life, no matter what comes your way, that you are to put a handle on it. But if you take everything and put Jesus Christ as your priority, it seems that you would have better grasp on the things of this world, on the things spiritually. Nobody really ever knows what one goes through. Oftentimes we feel that we are alone in this world. Yes, we have friends, and yes, we have confidants where we can talk to people. But a lot of times we walk with our head down and we say that we're okay. We say that things are going well. And when in reality, we just seem like that we're in a lonely, dark tunnel. We don't know where God is. Tonight, I would encourage you to be like David. David was one who thirsted after God. Go with me to the book of Psalm 66, where we were at, 63. Let's read a few things and pull some things out here. And time is almost going to be done, but you wanna hear more about Brother Hickey's stories? Go home with him, amen? All right. Psalm 63. Yeah. We're going to we got it. I got to still get you to come over and look at our table. Amen. All right. Psalm 63. Look with me. O God, thou art my God. Early will I seek thee. My soul thirsteth for thee. My flesh longeth for thee in a dry and thirsty land, where no water is, to see thy power and thy glory, so as I've seen thee in the sanctuary. Because thy loving kindness is better than life, my lips shall praise thee. I want to stop and just go back and look at these verses here. But here, David's speaking of his God. He's making acknowledgement. And he reminds himself when he says, He calls out God, O God, thou art my God. Hey, Lord in heaven, you're my God. There's none other besides you. You're my God. And I want to seek after you. Amen. You know, folks, I'll be honest to you. We as God's people don't really seek after him. I'll be honest to you. Now, I've been saved 23 years, and that's fine. Some of you have been saved double that. But I would be honest to say to you tonight, we don't really seek God. Or we come to church, and sometimes we might be encourage ourselves to come and pray, but we don't seek God. I can tell the difference. I can read my Bible. And I can read my Bible, and I can see in my own life that I don't seek God like David did. And I can see in the lives of others, even in this place, many Christians tonight don't seek after God. He said, God, O God, thou art my God. Early will I seek thee. I'm not telling you that you're not seeking God. I'm not saying that. Was making a point. He's making a point that when God is on the scene, things change. Your priorities change. Your thoughts change. I don't know what some of you are doing, but I was listening to the testimony of Brother Hickey here, and I'm gonna tell you, God was speaking to my heart. I was this close to just go there and go give him his Bible and say, cut it loose, buddy. Here it is. Amen. But I'm trying to get you to understand tonight. You and I, we need to really evaluate our life. And I believe that tonight, if we just stopped right here and meditated on the verses that we have, I hope you wrote a lot of those down. If you didn't, then go look at the Psalms and look how David makes mention. He makes a mention of having a relationship with his God. And then come back and tell me, he says, Pastor, you know the Bible's right. I don't really seek God like I ought to. And so tonight, I just want to leave that with you. Because I believe that tonight, if we are really seeking God, our priorities would be different. You know, we've heard preaching for a long time, even in this church, that the Lord's coming back. I just want to ask a question. Do you really believe that? Do you really believe that the Lord Jesus Christ is coming back? I'm not naming the day. I'm not naming the time. I'm not even going to try to give as much to name the season. I'm just asking you a question. Do you really believe that Jesus Christ is coming back?
Amen.
I don't know what you believe, but I believe for me, I believe that we're going to watch each other go up in the rapture.
Amen.
I believe that we're going to look up each other and we're going to look at each other. Hey, Brother Hickey, I'm sorry I never came over and ate ice cream with you, man. I'm sorry. You know, I believe we're going to have those conversations. You think that? Nah. We ain't going to have those conversations. You're going to get your priorities straight. You're getting ready to meet the Lord Jesus Christ, the King of Kings, the one who gave his life for your salvation. Maybe then you'll get your priorities straight, but I think it'll be too late. You won't have no fruit. All you have is just shame, neglect, disappointments to give Jesus Christ. When in fact he has given you all. And yet we stay here and we live our 50 to 70 or whatever years. If you want to live to 100, then go ahead and do it. Brother Mel's almost there. Amen.
Amen.
But you live your life. Amen. And not ever let Jesus Christ have all of you. I think you wasted your priorities. I don't think you have your priorities straight now. Listen, I know I'm not the best preacher. But in my heart, I want to be.
Amen.
I know I'm not the best husband. But I know in my heart, I want to be.
Amen.
I'm not even the best friend. Amen. I'm not even the best dad. My son Josiah got squished in the door. You know what I told him? That'll teach a lesson for you. Amen. I wasn't even a good dad. I should have had a little compassion. Should have showed a little love to him. You know? Hey, that'll teach you to slow down. That'll teach you to obey mom and dad. But I want to be. And I pray that you be that with me. Because if we can get our priorities straight, and that priority is not about anything else but making Jesus Christ our priority. If you and I can get that right, it'll transform us. It'll make us what we've always wanted. Amen?
Amen.
Every head bowed, every eyes closed. Heavenly Father, we come to you tonight, dear God. We ask, dear God, that for us, Lord, and where we're at, I pray, dear God, that you would help us in our church. But, Lord, where we need you is simply and where we make our decisions of putting things what's first and what's second and what's third. And so, God, I pray, Lord, that in this church, Lord, we preach about you. We make a lot of we have a lot of songs that makes a lot of mention about you. But I wonder, God, I wonder if we put you as our priority. Lord, if it doesn't, if we don't, dear God, then we're going to fail. And all the things in this world and all the things in this community is going to overwhelm us. And I pray tonight, dear God, as the pianist comes to open up a song, it's time for invitation that, Lord, we can make a decision for you. I pray, dear God, you would help us. Reveal to us, Lord, what is in our hearts and help us to know our priorities. God, we are to be a church that is thriving for souls to be saved. It ought to be where, Lord, we're thriving for folks to be baptized so that they can be discipled for your glory, so that they can know who you are, that you're their God and you're my God. And I just pray, dear God, that you would help us to get our priorities where they need to be.